we have two prayer requests for this morning. The first one is for Sarah Bachelor Robinson, who received blood yesterday, and now her heart rate is at 147.
Ooh, not good.
Temp is at 104.4. She is very sick in the hospital.
Okay.
And then let's pray for James and Brianna.
Okay.
Who is grieving the loss of their baby.
Yeah, that's tough.
The baby was born without a heartbeat.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. All right. Let's take these to the Lord in prayer today. Father God, I pray for Sarah today. Lord, the doctors tell us, Lord, about going and getting blood, and they're the ones that instruct us. They're the ones that try to keep our blood in line. We trust them. We trust their wisdom. We trust their knowledge. But many times there is a reaction to the blood that we receive. And, Lord, today Sarah is having a reaction to the blood that she received. And, Lord, I pray right now that you would regain control of that and you would bring healing into that body today. Lord, even King David said, create in him a new heart. And so we're asking today for Sarah that you would create in her a new heart and let that heart filter out that blood from today. Lord, we know that you can and we know that you will. We know that's what you desire. Lord, we pray that you give her heart a correct heart rate, Lord, that you'd slow that down. Lord, I can see right here if her heart rate is as high as that, then her temperature is going to be high, but it's at a deadly height. So, Lord, I pray that she's cooled back down, the anxiety goes away. Do not allow that spirit of fear to dominate, that spirit of anxiety to dominate, but instead, Lord, give her one of power, love, and a sound mind. Give her peace and assurance. Give her calmness, even now as we pray, Lord, in Jesus' name. And Father God, I pray for this young couple, James and Brianna, today, who are grieving for the loss of their new baby. Lord, I just pray that you would help this father and this mother. Lord, I pray that you would move away, resolve no guilt in them. Lord, I pray that you would give them assurance and confidence. Lord, I pray for comfort and I pray for courage, Lord, to do those things that are right in the path, to walk them through the steps that will have to take place in the next few days, and let blessing and glory and honor come to them in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Before I read and we go to our sponsors, would you please, Pastor Kevin, share about your church, the location, and the times of services and stuff?
Amen. Listen, I am Pastor of First Assembly of God. We are located at 2701 South Randall. So if you find Randall Street, it's a main north and south street here in Elk City. And you can go south on Randall, and right before you cross over I-40, we sit right on the edge of I-40. Our trademark is the big triple crosses that stick high above the church. And so we go by the big triple crosses. And so our Sunday morning Sunday school Bible study small group is at 9:30. We have a couple of adult classes and a couple of children classes for there at 9:30 until 10:30. Our morning worship begins at 10:45, and we go till we're through. So that's the way we go. And then on Wednesday nights, we have a full-blown student activity night where if you're a student, you are welcome to come. We'd love to have you. It's all over in the what we call the fellowship side of the church. There's a lot of activity. We feed them a little meal, and then we break them up in their small groups and really teach them on Wednesday night the Bible. In the sanctuary, currently, right now, we are studying the Minor Prophets on Wednesday night. That is the last 12 books of the Old Testament, and we're breaking them down, each book, prophet by prophet, separating the time factor of when they're at, who they're talking about, and finding the truth within that book. And so very interesting on Wednesday night Bible study. We're having a great time. May the Lord bless you.
Joshua's Crossing Ministries, located here at the Promise Center in Elk City. Crosscut Creations by Pastor Joe Thompson. If you would like some custom designs in wood, you can contact Pastor Joe at 580-243-8635. And Prophetic Voice Ministries, located here in Elk City at 616 North Locust Avenue. Apostle Casey Elliott is an awesome man of God. And the Refuge Church, located at 18410 Highway 152 in Sayre, Pastor Powerhouse Tammy Bailey will bless your shoes and socks off. Stay tuned, y'all. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Barber Dyson Ford Lincoln wants your service business no matter what. This is Rhett McAbee, Service Director at Barber Dyson Ford in Elk City. At Barber Dyson, we want your parts and service business no matter what you're driving, no matter where you bought it. Bottom line, we want your parts and service business. We hang our hat on service with world-class service riders, factory-trained technicians, and knowledgeable parts staff. Give us a shot today at Barber Dyson Ford Lincoln in Elk City.
Experience the difference, Barber Dyson Ford's where you save.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. Guidelines are principles and rules that you live by. They're based on standards bigger than you. They were established before you and will continue after you. They are not controlled by what you do, but directly connected to why you do. They may seem to be a limit to your life, but are proven by the life that follows. Why you do is much more important than what you do.
Whether you've been thinking about sizing down or have some land or home you want to sell, Grants Auction and Realty should be your first choice. Maybe you have an estate that needs to be liquidated. Grants Auction and Realty will get you the best price. Grants Auction is your complete liquidation professional. Grants Auction locks and catalogs every item. They don't charge you more, they just make you more. Grants Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269, or find them on the web at www.grantsauction.com.
We are back. You are tuned into the Hour Power this morning. Our guest for today is Pastor Kevin Akins. His title for this morning is, What Armor? Back to you, sir.
What armor? What armor are you wearing? What armor's on? So many people today in this world, they think that they've got what it takes to finish the battle. But the problem is what they think. I used to have an evangelist friend that would come around, and he said, you know, the number one thing that Christians need to do today is get rid of their stinking thinking.
Come on.
Because so many times we have a thought that's not right. It's not scriptural. It's not according to Bible. It's wrong thinking. It's stinking thinking. So we need to get the right thinking back in mindset. We cannot be victorious in this world system that comes against us with our own armor. The second one that so many people do today is they put on what's called and what they would identify as a socially made armor. Not just self-made armor, but a socially made armor. And so they put on the armor that the world wants them to have. They put on the armor that society wants them to have. And the most dangerous of all is they put on the armor that social media wants everybody to wear. All of these cannot and will not be effective in the final days of the final battle. They're not going to protect you. They're not going to prevent from you. All of these social, society-made armors are name tag armors. They're like off-brand. They're like knockoffs. That's the word I'm looking for. They're not the real item. They're not going to stand the test. They're not going to win. They're not going to be victorious. So once again, you're going to boast like you're putting your armor on. Man, look how shiny my armor is. Look how good my armor is. Look how much I got going for me. Look how much I know. Look how much I understand. And you may know all of the prophets on YouTube, and you may know all of the sayings that are on Instagram, and you may follow all of the great evangelists that's on Facebook, but if you don't know Jesus Christ, you don't know the armor.
Come on.
You don't have the right armor. You can follow all of other man's opinions and put on everything else that all the other men say. Even if you're listening to me today, I'm going to tell you about the real armor to put on in just a few minutes. And you can do whatever you want to do. Bottom line, if you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, it's not going to work. You can put on the whole armor of God. But if you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, the armor's not going to matter. You're going to say, well, why didn't God answer my prayer? You don't have the armor on. Why doesn't God help me? You don't have the armor on. Why isn't God winning my battles? You don't have the armor on. How many times does it have to be said? How many times do you have to hear it? Because society says, well, the armor's good enough. Your mind says, well, my armor's good enough. And it's not. It's a self-made or society-made armor. You go, Pastor, where are you coming from? Look at verse 12. Paul tells the Ephesian church this so clear. He's like, y'all been watching the army come and go, but even still, you depending on this. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood. This is not a physical battle that you're doing. You're trying to put a physical armor on, something that is made by flesh and blood, something that attends to flesh and blood. But he says, this is not it. We fight against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against a spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places. Now, let me take just a minute. Let me break these down for you, because this is what society does. This is what society was doing here at approximately 90 years after Christ. Not 90 years. Sorry about that. After a few short years after Christ was risen from the grave and ascended into heaven, Paul comes in. He's speaking to the Ephesian church. We know it's about 7 years later, 8 years later, maybe 9 years later. There's where I got the 90. Apologize for that. He comes in and he's telling them, you still don't get it. This is a spiritual warfare. It's not a physical warfare. Those soldiers are leaving that military base to go fight a physical battle. But the battle that you're fighting in the church is a spiritual battle. We don't fight against flesh and blood. We fight against principalities. These principalities hold you back. It's the actions and the characters. The principalities are the things that are right. You know to do right, but you do it not. It is according as accounted to you as sin. That's what James tells us over and over again. It's not just about not doing what's wrong. Oh, I don't do things wrong. I haven't killed anybody. I haven't shot anybody. I haven't stolen anything. I haven't hurt anybody. I haven't committed adultery. It's not about not doing what's wrong. It's about doing what's right. If you know to do right and you don't do it, it's accounted to you as sin. And sin will not enter into heaven. It's the principality behind it. But nobody else is doing that. It doesn't matter. You know it's a good thing to God. Do it for God. But society says, everybody else is jumping off the bridge. Why don't you jump off the bridge? What armor are you wearing? There's the question. Did you get it? Hope so. What about against powers? These powers that he's referring to right here, it really is the legalistic mindset of the people. The word that is used here is the governing forces. It's the powers. Now, we're not talking about politics. Please don't jump off that bridge with me right now. When you talk about politics, there is none in authority except for those that God has placed in authority, according to Romans chapter 13. He's talking about the legalistic formats. He's talking more on the religious basis. He's talking about the church of that day was still saying, you got to sacrifice a calf or we're not taking away your sin. What about today? Don't get mad at me. But even today in our system today, well, if you don't follow the Baptist church, you're going to hell. If you don't follow the Methodist church, you're going to hell. If you don't go to the Assembly of God church, you're going to hell. If you don't go and just keep going down the list. Okay. I don't have time to list them all, but why do we say that? Why do we say, well, if you don't go to our church, if you've not been baptized in our church, you're not going to make it into heaven? Why do we say that? We do not have the authority to say that. It's the powers that be. It's society that's trying to put an armor on you. Unless you do it like this, it's not going to work. Unless you do it like that. Well, the way that we've always done it. Now I'm really getting into the legalistic things. Oh, you know, it's just like, well, here's the tradition of religion. It worked for us. It ought to work for them. Not so. Not necessarily. It's not going to work that way. When so many young people today have incredible talents and they want to worship God on their level, their way. I heard a man tell me one time, there is no such thing as a Christian rap song. Cannot happen. Cannot be. And I went, dude, have you missed the boat or what? You've missed it. God gave those young people that talent to be able to do that. It's incredible. They're worshiping God. Leave it alone. Leave it alone. Oh, and I could go a long list, but I refuse to go down that list today. The legalistic structures of today put a false armor on you and will make you think that you're doing what's right when you're not. You're being deceived. It's still a wiles of the devil. It's what he was talking about. What about this one? When he says, the rulers of the darkness of this age. There is so many lies, so many deceptions, so many things hidden. There's puppet strings that make people do what they know they don't want to do. Even Paul said it this way, why do I continue to do what I don't want to do when I know that what I'm doing is wrong? But why is it there? Because it's built inside of us. It's a habit-forming ritual that is embedded into our mind by social media. Oh, I had to bring it up. There is so much devastation in social media today. Now, you can use it as a powerful tool for the kingdom of God, but you can also be deceived, and it is a weapon of the enemy. People read emotion into text messages. Wrong, wrong, wrong. Don't do that. Don't do that. Well, this is what they said, and I know they said, no, they didn't say it like that. No, that's not what was meant at all. It wasn't the intention. Matter of fact, that autocorrect popped up, and that's how it got in there. We all have that on our phones. Listen, it's a spiritual host of wickedness that just hides back in the shadows, hides in the darkness, and it just creeps out. And you're depending on it. You're living by it. You're counting on it. What armor are you wearing? You're wearing an armor that's created by society, and it will not last in the last days. It won't do it. Won't last. And what was the last one? Let me look. Let me make sure I'm on the right track. The rulers of the darkness of this age and the spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places. There is a spiritual battle that's always going. Why do you feel like your prayers are not going past heaven? Why do you feel like you can't get through because you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus? There was a saying that used to be said all the time. I mentioned this past Sunday where we were telling some young people, you need to pray through. You need to pray through. You need to break through the barriers, break through the tension, break through your emotions, break through your sensitive feelings about what other people are saying about you or what anybody cares. The people are waiting on you in the pews in the back. Pray through. And I was telling this one boy this recently. I said, you need to pray through. And he said, I have prayed till I'm through. I'm done. And I was like, no, that's a wrong meaning. It's not pray till you're through. Just you need to pray until God is through with you. But there's this mindset. There's this thought, well, my prayers aren't getting through. Well, they're not making it. I might as well stop praying. It's not working anyway. There is a host of wickedness that's trying to hold things down. We need to build that relationship with God. If you have an armor on that's made by society, then you are in the fast-paced society. Let's get done. Let's make the order. Let's go. Let's order it online. Get it here tomorrow. Whatever it is, I got to go. Got to find it. Got to go. Got to move. Got to quick. Microwave mentality. You just pop it in for a minute and let's be done. And you think that's the way your prayer is going to go too. But it's a battle. It's a spiritual battle. And there's a spiritual war going up above. So that's the armor. We are self-made armor or a society-made armor. But what about the last one? What about a sacred armor? A sacred armor that makes a difference to God. An armor that's made by God. An armor that can hold us. An armor that can withstand anything that comes against us. An armor that will show us victory in the end. An armor that will make the difference. Think about this. Let's look. Verse 14. He says, so stand therefore, and let's put this whole armor on. Gird yourself with truth. Put on truth. Put on honesty. How do you talk to God? Be honest with God. How do you pray? Be honest with God. Don't stand before God and say, well, it was their fault. Well, he did it. Well, she did it. Well, they're the one that caused it. Be honest with God. God, I'm at fault here. I said those things that stirred that up. I did that action that caused that problem. God, please look at me, not me. Not at my outside, but look at my heart, God. I'm not that way. I didn't want to do that. Be the honesty inside. Honesty makes the difference with God. It's a waste surrounded by truth. He says, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. When he talks about a breastplate of righteousness, he's talking about protecting your heart. Put your heart righteousness. The Bible tells us from Genesis, in every book, Old Testament, prophets, all of them, Psalms, Proverbs, all of them, even Ecclesiastes, the weirdest book in the Bible, in my opinion, even Ecclesiastes, all the way through the New Testaments, the Gospels, Jesus tells us over and over again, Paul tells his epistles over and over again, James, John, Peter, all of them tell the same thing. Even Jude, the youngest writer of the whole Bible, all of them tell us the same thing. Guard your heart. Guard it. Put a guard on it. We've got to have this breastplate of righteousness, this strong, unpenetrating armor of God, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You don't say things by accident. You say things that are buried deep down in your heart. It's out of the heart that you commit adultery. It's out of the heart that you commit idolatry. It's out of the heart that you lie. Guard your heart. We need a heart of righteousness. Every day we should put that breastplate on that says, God, guard my heart. Let my heart be true to you. Let my heart be right to you. Let my heart be prepared for you. Love the Lord your God. What's he say? Come on, this is the greatest commandment of all. Love the Lord your God with all your money, all your talent, love the Lord your God with all your heart. I'll just stop there. There's others, but love the Lord your God with all your heart. Look at what he says here. He goes on, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. This is part of your armor. Are you telling somebody about Jesus? How are you going to win this battle, this spiritual battle, if you're not telling anybody who you're following and who you're serving? This is part of the Lord's armor. This is part of his might. This is part of his power, is sharing with other people about Jesus. I love how one man said it before. We're just all beggars in the presence of God. And I know that bothers some people, but listen to it. We're beggars in the presence of God. And if you're a beggar and you get given a fresh loaf of bread, are you going to tell anybody else where you got that bread? You're going to tell every other beggar that you meet where you're getting fresh bread. You're going to get a line stretched out there because they want the fresh bread. Jesus is that fresh bread, and we're just beggars in his presence. And we need to go out and tell people. And that's what it says about shodding your feet with the gospel preparation of peace, is going out and sharing this peace with everybody around. The more you share, the tougher your armor gets. We have a little boy in our church, and he is 6 years old, I think. I believe he's 6 years old, and that boy never wears shoes, and he runs around out in the country, and he gets into those sticker patches. He don't ever feel those stickers. The bottom of his feet are like leather. He don't need shoes. He walks on the asphalt parking lot at our church when it's 104 degrees, and he doesn't feel the heat out there. The bottom of his feet are hard, tough. I'm like, not me. Mm-mm. I get a little green sticker, and I'm like, I'm done. I'm out. I'm sitting there until somebody gets that thing out of me. You know, this little boy is tough. The more you share the gospel, the tougher you get towards the resistance that comes at you. Shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Then in 16, he says, above all. He gives his key mark, above all, take the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. The devil's not going to stop throwing fiery darts at you just because you put on the armor of God, just because you claim you go to church, just because you claim you serve Jesus, just because you're worshiping the Lord. This is a sacred armor, and this armor comes with a shield that helps you see what cannot be seen, a shield that helps you know what cannot be known, a shield that helps you have the faith and the hope to look forward to something that you don't even know what's coming at you. This is a shield of faith. When Paul was mentioning this is not the little round shield that goes on your armor. When he says the term above all, take up the shield of faith, he's not talking about handling a shield. He's talking about actually taking up the shield. They had in that army and that military base, when they would come out of the military base, they would be standing behind a military wall shield. And this shield many times are 7 feet tall. They're 7 to 8 feet tall. They are 9 to 10 feet wide, and it would take 4 soldiers to carry one shield. And they're not meant to retreat or build a wall to retreat or to fall back to the base. They are designed to advance forward against any army that wants to throw arrows, spears, whatever at them. They just advance right past them, right into the midst of them, and then they begin the battle and war. Your shield of faith is not meant for you to hide behind and say, oh God, please help me. Your shield of faith is meant to stand up straight and advance forward. Oh man, I just had an anointed feeling real quick. Listen to me. You don't need soldiers picking that shield up. You need angels picking that shield up. We need warring angels to pick those shields of faith up and advance us forward in the kingdom of God. Let me just ask you a simple little question. What armor are you wearing? Are you wearing a self-made armor? Are you wearing a society-made armor? Are you wearing a sanctified, sacred-made armor? Which kind of armor are you wearing? If you're wearing the self-made, you're not going to win the battle. If you're wearing a society-made, you're not going to be victorious. If you're wearing a sacredly made armor, you're going to win. You're going to be victorious. You're going to advance. You're going to grow. You're going to have the final victory. You're going to be able to boast when you take your own armor off. Nobody is going to take the armor off of you. You're going to be the one carrying it and making it at the end. Wow, where am I at? Verse 17, he says, take up the helmet of salvation. This is your knowledge game. Helmet of salvation. Keep reading your Bible. Keep reading your scripture and build that personal relationship with Jesus, because you need to know that you know that you know that you know that you're saved, born again, blood bought, and ready to fight in the battle. Ready to go. You don't want to be hit and miss, questioning, well, I really don't know if the Lord's got my back or not, but let's go on into this spiritual battle. Don't do that. You're going to lose. Get your sacred armor on. Put the helmet of salvation on and know that you're saved. How do you know that you're saved? Repent, confess. Anyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. All of those. This is God's desire. He desires for all men everywhere to repent and call upon him. That's what he wants. That's where he's at. So please know that. Understand that. And so put on that helmet of salvation that lets you know for certain that you are saved. And then he says, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always in all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Let me just end with this. Pick up the sword. The sword is your final weapon. Don't fight with your own words. That's a self-made armor. Don't fight with the opinions of revenge and what the world tells you to do. That's a society-made armor. Fight with the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Know the Bible. That is the sacred armor. That's the one that's going to win the battles in the long run. So, what did we say? What armor are you wearing today? What armor have you put on? What armor makes the difference in your life? Let me conclude with a prayer for you. Let me pray for you today. Let's pray. Father God, I asked you at the beginning that you would open our ears, that we may hear what the Spirit is saying to us and what you want us to hear today. I prayed, Lord, that you would open our minds to this concept of the right armor that we're wearing. And Lord, we know that you're with us. So we ask you now, Lord, to let these thoughts sink into our hearts and into our minds. I pray, Lord, that you would engage our spirit right now to receive and maintain and retain everything that you've given to us today, Lord. I pray for those right now that have a self-made armor on, Lord, that they will set that self-made armor aside and they'll make a decision today to put on the whole armor of God. I pray, Lord, that there are someone today that will push the off button on this society-made armor that they continually try to fight their battles with and they continually lose. Lord, I pray that they turn it off, put it off to the side, and they put on the sacred armor of God, which will withstand all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen and amen.
Amen. You have been tuned into the Hour of Power this morning, and I'm going to say it again. It is the most powerful hour of my day. From myself, Monica Lovell, from my grandson, Ethan, and from Pastor Kevin Akins, y'all have a blessed weekend, and we'll see you on Monday.
Let us pray, let us pray. We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower@cableone.net. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com. Download the app. It's called The Rock Christian Music, and take us with you everywhere.